Good morning. Happy Easter.
He's risen.
Great, great. Okay, our reading this morning is coming from John chapter 20, 1 to 18. It reads, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
So now, let's pray for me that I can bring it too, that the Lord will bless that too. Lord, I pray that you, your spirit, which infuses this time, that brings us the day of resurrection, that gives us joy when we enter this space, whether we are here in person or here virtually online, we have the experience of the resurrection. And I pray now that the sermon that I know that you have been a part of in the preparation, now, Lord, you will speak through it. And speak through it in ways that I would have never guessed. People, things they would have heard, encouragement they would have found, hope they would cling to. And most importantly, may we have a vision of the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you like being special? I mean, every so often does something happen to you that you're like, I'm a little special today. Have you ever felt that? So, a couple weeks ago, a group of us went to a conference, went to a hotel in Richmond, and I walk in the lobby, and the person next to me says, "Hey, I think that's you." And I said, "What do you mean?" And pointed to this sign. Oh, yes, friends, I was guest of the day. Oh, yes, I was. I was guest of the day, and I want to tell you something. I embraced it immediately and fully. And I walked over to the desk and I said, "I'm not sure, but I believe, unless there's a Tina Berlin around, I believe I am the guest of the day." And she said, "Well, let's just check on that." And I gave her my name and she said, "Sir, you are guest of the day." And I said, What should I expect as guest of the day? And I was expecting something big, right? I mean, I was thinking upgrade, right? Sweet. maybe a room in the better hotel across the street. That might be an option, something like that. And she reached over and picked up what could be described as a remarkably small white bag. And it had two of those tiny earth-destroying bottles of water in it, you know the ones I'm talking about, and then two things of trail mix, two little packets of trail mix, and she handed it to me, and I looked in it, and I said, well, this is so nice. Is there anything else the guests of the day might expect? And she said, it's this and our thanks for choosing our hotel. And I thought, you know what? They just need my help. And I am, after all, guest of the day. Oh, you better believe I was guest of the day. And so whenever I entered the lobby, I just began to give them suggestions for things they might do to sweeten the guest of the day experience. And I'd walk up to the person behind the desk and say, I don't know if you ever thought, I just walked in, and I don't know if you know, but I'm guest of the day. And I said, have you ever thought of like a trumpet fanfare when the guest of the day enters? And she said, she looked at me and she said, you mean like I'd press a button and it would play on the light? I said, no, I mean like you'd pick up a trumpet and play a fanfare. She said, no, that's not been suggested. Later I came in and I said, I walked over to the guy behind the desk and said, hey, I don't know if you know, I'm guest of the day, yes. And I said, I'm about to leave. Have you ever thought of announcing to those in the lobby, please stand, the guest of the day is leaving? Have y'all ever thought about that? And he said, no, we've not. I came back in later and I had my car keys. I said, have you ever thought of guest of the day valet service? And she said, no, but thank you for choosing our hotel. Oh my goodness. I mean, I tried. I tried my best because I'll be honest with you, I really got into it. Like, you think I'm making this up for the sermon. I am absolutely not. This is what happened. And I think after a while, maybe the staff even began to enjoy it because I was offering so many suggestions, the front staff literally knew me. They knew who I was. In fact, one person, I want to make sure I get the quote right, one person said, when I walked up and I said, do you remember me? He said, and I quote, he could see me coming a mile away. Because it's nice to feel special, amen? Hey, you know who used to feel special? Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene used to feel incredibly special because before she met Jesus, she felt anything but special. We don't really know what was going on in her life. The Bible gives us the smallest of description. The Bible says that she was a woman who was possessed by demons. And you know what I think? I think it made her feel always on the edge and never in the center. Always looking in through the window at the party, never having an invitation. And you know, Jesus came for a purpose, and it's there in John chapter 1. So to understand John 20, you've actually got to go back to John 1. And in John 1, the gospel writer says that here's one purpose that Jesus came. You remember how it starts? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is in the beginning with God. And then later it says this in chapter 1, yet to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he, meaning Jesus, gave the right to become children of God, better than guest of the day. Amen? Better than guest of the day. And I think Mary was this woman who was, Bible says, possessed by demons. I've got no idea. Here's what I think. I think that evil exists, and I think evil loves it when we feel separated from God and separated from other people. I think evil loves us to feel alone, and I think it really enjoys it when we experience loneliness, the feeling that we're cut off from other people. And that, friends, that was Mary before Jesus. And then she met him. And Jesus, I don't think there was any big fanfare to it. I don't think it was any big thing that a movie writer would like. I think Jesus just walked up and looked at her and said, Mary, and cast the demons out of her life. You know why? Because I think Jesus' power was like that. I think, you know, some people are so powerful, they don't have to make a big deal. Amen? I just think he just walked up and put his hands on her shoulders and said, Mary, and just cast it out. And I think whatever she didn't have, she gained. If she didn't feel sane, I think she began to feel sane. If she felt totally unloved, I think she felt loved. If she had a bunch of baggage from the past, I think she left it behind. If she had mental health issues, whatever it was, we don't know what it was, I think it all went behind, and she began to live this life. The Bible says she was one of the women who followed Jesus with other women and the men who were also disciples, and she supported Jesus out of her own means, as did the other women. Faithful, faithful. The gospel writers tell the story from different points of view, but all agree on one thing. Mary was there when Jesus suffered and died. And I think it was a terrible thing. Now, kids, from among your number, four of you have helped me work this sermon out. And if you want to see maybe a portrayal of what it was like that, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you this. I've kind of lost my place a little bit. I thought Guests of the Day would go on forever. I really did. I woke up the next morning. I came down the lobby. I still felt like, no. Because the next morning when I was sitting eating breakfast, I looked over and the placard was no longer on its stand, and it had been taken off and put on the counter, and there was the nice woman who had greeted me the day before, and she had, next to the Guest of the Day plaque, she had a bottle, a spray bottle of water, and yes, a rag to wipe it with. And I took a video. I looked over, I said, hey, the Guest of the Day is sitting right over here. And she said, that was yesterday. And then she started to do that. I said, I got to get a video of this. Just hold tight. And so my point is this. The Guest of the Day experience is transient and temporary. And I think that when Mary came to the cemetery the next day, I think that's what she felt like. I think she felt like it had all been lost, but some of the kids have helped me take a look at how they portray that.
What a week this has been. You had to be there. I mean, you just had to be there.
The other disciples and I were hanging out, kind of numb from everything that had happened.
We were still trying to wrap our heads around all that we had seen and experienced. The day they crucified our Lord was awful, just awful. I was so sad. Jesus' mother and I were crying. It was heartbreaking. The awful things the soldiers did to Jesus was something I'll never forget.
Do you know how much it hurts to see your son going through something so horrific?
That last Mary is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Have you ever seen it portrayed that sadly in your entire life? I thought, wow, you really captured that. Mary Magdalene is walking to the tomb, and in John's gospel, she's by herself. And she's walking to this tomb, and I think she's carrying three things. I think she's carrying despair over demons of the past. Because no matter how far away you get from your past, you always remember your past. Is that true for you? It's not that you don't live in it, but you remember it. And I think she's got some real despair about that. And I think she's got tremendous disappointment about the present. You ever had that in your life? Have you ever had that question of how did we get here? How did we get here? Like how could Jesus have died? And then I think she's got a dread of the future. See, she's been living like the future is going to be bright, the future's great, the future is going to be so good. Why? Because Jesus is here. But now, I think she might be wondering, are the demons of the past coming back into my life? Was Jesus the only firewall that stood between my present and my past? And now that he's gone, is everything going to fall apart? And am I going to be outside again? Has my name been wiped away off the family of God like it used to be? Is this just a transient, short experience, and now I go back to the way the things they were? And so when Mary comes to a tomb, I just think she carries all of that, and I think that's not that hard for you and I to understand. Have you ever felt disappointed with the present? Curious, show of hands. Have you ever felt disappointed with the present? Come on. If your hand's not up, you aren't alive. Easter some years feels a little muted. Even this year, when it's so good to see everybody, so good to be back in this space, we think of the suffering of those who are in Ukraine today. We have concerns about our environment and our economy. We have the polarization of our society that feels like really an endurance contest over time, and the list is long and doesn't need to be rolled through at this time. And people have issues in their own lives, right? You may have lost someone this year. You may have some other problem in your life, and it feels some years like the present is a disappointment. And we wonder. See, when those things enter into our personal lives, it feels a lot like, can I just tell you something about guests of the day, all kidding aside, when she wiped my name off of it, I did in the video, if you could hear me, I say, wow, that really hurts. Like, you're just like, that's never coming back. Sometimes when disappointing things happen to us or when tragic things happen to us, we feel like maybe our name got wiped off of God's list. And I think that's where Mary is on the first Easter. And her faithfulness is what brings her back to that empty tomb. And in that moment, something wondrous happened to Mary Magdalene. Take a look.
So John and Simon Peter left, and just Mary Magdalene and I were still there.
I was crying and crying. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Where was Jesus' body? And as I'm looking in the tomb, I see two angels in white, seated where Jesus had been laying. They asked me, "Why are you crying?" And I told them, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." And then I turned around, and yikes, there was a man standing there.
From what I heard later, Mary said it was Jesus.
It was, but I didn't know at the time. I thought he was the gardener.
The gardener? Can you believe that? I would have known it was Jesus, just saying.
Anyway, the man asked me why I was crying, and I told him the same thing I had told the angels, that someone had taken Jesus away, and I was looking for him. And he said one word, just one word. He said, Mary. And when he said that, I knew it was Jesus. I cried out, Rabboni! I was overjoyed.
Everything changed when Mary saw Jesus. Actually, it wasn't when Mary saw Jesus, it was when Mary spoke her name, when Jesus spoke Mary's name. It was when she heard it, because the truth is, When you are in a what we might call a death valley present, when everything is arid and everything's dead and nothing's working and you can't even figure how you're going to walk out of this thing, in that moment, you can't. Often we don't have eyes to see that God is around. And Jesus speaks Mary's name and says it, Mary. And suddenly the familiarity that she has enjoyed for all this time, she turns and says, Teacher. And that changes everything. Suddenly, everything begins to change. And the despair of those demons of the past turns to triumph of new life. The disappointment turns into trust. Dread becomes tenacity. And why do I say tenacity? Because people who know the resurrection, people who understand that Christ has been risen and that that is not something just in my life, but that's in the universe, that's a cosmic event, have a tenacity about life that even when the hardest things hit them, even when tragedy comes, they have the ability to still stand. Does it mean we don't feel grief? Of course not. Does it mean we don't feel loss? Of course not. But does it mean that we have the ability to be tenacious even in our troubles? That's what Mary gains. Everything shifts, and she begins a long walk to a new life. You know, friends, Death Valley is a real place. Some of you have been to it. Go in the summer. You'll regret it. Hot, average temperature, 115 degrees. Think about that for a second. Average temperature, 115 degrees. Looks like the surface of the moon. And about once every 10 years, something miraculous happens. It's called the Death Valley Superbloom. Once about every 10 years, there's just enough rain in Death Valley in the spring that what you don't realize is under a thin layer of dirt are seeds of wildflowers. And there's so much heat there that if they get just a little bit of moisture, they begin to germinate and they begin to grow, and they literally fill Death Valley with these blooms, transforming the lifeless soil into a place of vibrant colors and breathtaking beauty. In any given moment, friends, in any given moment beneath the surface of Death Valley, there is this amazing new life that's lying dormant, waiting for just the right time to come forth. The beauty of the superbloom reminds everyone that there is more to Death Valley than meets the eye. There's more to Death Valley than you originally thought. And friends, Easter is just like that. The resurrection is just like that. We celebrate Easter every year to remind us that just below the surface of death, new life is waiting to spring forth. We might walk away from a cemetery gravestone thinking that death is the end, but Easter and the resurrection reminds us that there's more to death than we originally thought. Jesus offers every one of us a super bloom where death gives way to new life and beauty. Mary discovered that we are not really in the land of the living marching toward death. That's probably how you think of it, right? You think every year, you think, well, I'm getting a little older. There it is, the tombstone with my name on it. I'm in the land of the living, walking toward death. And what Mary learned is, actually, you're in the land of the dying, and you're walking toward life. And that is a completely way to think about how you exist. That produces a tenacity that even when you get knocked down, it's not just your power that lifts you back up. It's not just your capacity that lifts you back up. It's holding to the power of the resurrection. It's looking at what God has done in this moment when Mary is greeted in the garden and when she looks around, and it's not just tombstones and tombs and death. That's the so what of Easter. Jesus proves himself to be the Lord, the one who welcomes us into the family of God, who opens the gates of a new life and eternal life to us. And you and I have the same opportunity that Mary had to embrace Christ as Lord, because the first time she turns, she says, Rabboni, which means teacher. But every other time she speaks of him thereafter, she uses the word Lord. And that's the power of it, because Mary realizes it's not just her life that's been changed by this. It's the cosmos itself. Because prior to this moment, it's always a story of death. Life always ends in despair. Life always ends in death. There's always that moment. But what Jesus does is takes us beyond the moment of death to the place where life prevails, because life is what God always is creating with us and in us. The resurrection, friends, isn't just something for you and me. It's something for the universe itself. That's why it's powerful. And once Mary understood that, she had one less thing to do, as these kids will tell you.
Then Mary came and told all of us to not hold on to him, for he had not yet gone to heaven.
He wanted us to know that he would be going to his Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
I told them I had seen the Lord and gave them the messages, just as Jesus had told me to do.
Like I said, what a week this has been. What a week.
You heard it right. They got it right. Mary doesn't say, I've seen our teacher. Mary doesn't say, I've seen our rabbi. Mary says, I've seen the Lord. And in the Gospel of John, when that phrase appears, to see the Lord, it means to know, to believe in, to receive, and to trust Jesus Christ. Here, Mary sees the life-altering, world-changing impact of Jesus' resurrection. She understands this is no paltry guest of the day experience where you're special one day and you're wiped out the next. She understands that this is not just today, but it is till the end of time and beyond. The gift of Easter is the triumph of new life, the trust of the resurrected Lord, a newfound tenacity that enables you to endure the very difficult times of your life which will come. Christ is Lord, and there is nothing to end our status as members of the family of God. And friends, I want to tell you, I know some people think that Easter's a metaphor, that the resurrection is just a concept. I don't believe that. I think Jesus was bodily resurrected, and here's why that's important to me. I have had to stand by too many spaces of death, whether it is in hospital rooms or cemeteries. I have sat alone after a woman couldn't leave because her son was being buried, and I said, how about if I stay here until it's all done? Because I think you just can't do it. And you've really got to go. And when you stand there, you don't want to say, hey, there's this great metaphor I want to tell you about. It has to be the power of the resurrection, that God has the capacity to bring dead things to life. And if it's true for Jesus, it's a gift to us. And it's true in every hard thing you're facing, friends. Today, amidst the tragedy and the destruction of all that's happened in Ukraine, there are Christians who are gathering saying, the Lord is risen. Oh, it's in a muted tone, but that's the one thing they've got to hold on to. Today in the ICU at any local hospital, somebody is going to turn to somebody else. I guarantee you, if there are Christians in that space, somebody's going to turn to somebody and say, the Lord is risen, and somebody will say, he is risen indeed. Today in your life, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're facing, I have good news. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, the Lord is risen. That's what we have to hold on to. And this is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is God's lordship over the cosmos itself. The one who created is the one who redeemed, and the one who redeemed is the one who sustained. So let's stand, and our band's coming up, and let's sing a final hymn of worship and praise on this beautiful Easter morning.